Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God from the Epistle for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is God's word. You know, when you think about it, the really, really good stories always have a struggle between good and evil. Even the stories that children learn, nursery rhymes, right? Little Red Riding Hood has to deal with a big bad wolf. Three Little Pigs also have to deal with a big bad wolf. I don't know if it's the same one or not. Cinderella has a wicked stepmother. Snow White has a wicked queen who is jealous of her beauty. And even as we get older and we move on to more complex stories, the same thing holds true. In Lord of the Rings, Frodo the Hobbit tries to destroy Sauron's evil ring. Harry Potter fights against Voldemort. Batman fights the Joker. Superman has Lex Luthor. I don't care if you're watching Lifetime movies. It's the same thing. A faithful wife with a cheating husband, or maybe a mother trying to get custody of her children back from the courts and the judges. Whatever story it is that captivates you and grabs your attention, somehow the writers have the story of a hero and a villain. And we do it with football as well, don't we, right? Michigan versus pesky Notre Dame or Ohio State. Roxy, don't you look at me like that. So Packers and Bears, or Packers and Vikings, right? And Lions aren't really a threat to anyone, are they? So, who did I offend with that? Someone, I'm sure. So, and he's not here, so. So we do the same thing. We love, are compelled by this story between the good guy and the bad guy. And the reason I think we're drawn into these stories is all the action and the drama that surround it. Hollywood has totally caught on to this, that people will go to see the story of the good guy versus the bad guy. I want you to consider three of the biggest grossing movies of the last several months that Hollywood came out with. They all have something in common. Incredibles 2! There wasn't even an actor in that movie, and yet cost $200 million to make that movie. Mission Impossible, newest installment, $250 to tell that story. I don't know if this is the fifth or sixth movie. They keep telling the story, and people keep going to see it. The one that I took my family to, we're all into the Marvel movies, right? Avengers Infinity War cost $321.2 million just to make it. 3D screen showings throughout the country, special effects, CGI, everything that makes it a big budget story. And what do they all have in common? All of them? A good guy or a group of good guys versus a bad guy versus a villain. They're all superhero movies, effectively. And they tell a compelling, gripping story that keeps us on the edge of our seat. Well, Paul, in our epistle today, seems to have kind of a similar story, doesn't he? You get the sense that our Christian life is one of these age-old battles between good and evil. And there's all this talk of armor, shields, and helmets, and swords. I remember when we lived in St. Louis and I was going to seminary, one of Bella's little friends, they were about 4 years old at the time, her dad was a classmate of mine, and she had a toy suit of armor. And each of the different pieces had on it, for example, a shield had the big word faith written across it, and a helmet that she would put on it. It said salvation, right? And a sword that said the Spirit on it. And that's how Paul describes this armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. What a beautiful image that we are given armor against the evil of this world. I was even given, back when I lived in Bear Creek, by one of my members, a little statue. It sits on the shelf in my office. Probably can't see it from there. You get the idea. It's a little suit of armor, and it says on the bottom, "Put on the full armor of God." And there you see it. Just like a knight's armor, the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the sword, the shoes, the shield. It's all there. Paul's words are here to remind us that there is a very real battle between good and evil that takes place. And you and I are in the middle of it. We are in the middle of spiritual warfare. But here's the thing. This battle that we, when we picture spiritual warfare with the devil and his demons, we picture angels slaying dragons and the forces of heaven fighting against the forces of hell. And yeah, all of that takes place, but you know what? Our role is not as an angel slaying a dragon. We are not fighting against hordes of demons, at least in a visible sense. Because your place in this battle isn't, it's not on the front line, really. It's a quiet one. It's a quiet battle that every Christian fights. It's not the stuff of Hollywood movies with big special effects. Because you know what? The reality is, for probably the majority of us, Hollywood wouldn't spend a dime to tell our life story, to show the story of our spiritual battle. Paul tells us that each of us is clothed in the armor of God, but I want you, we have the little statue here of something visible, right? You see a helmet and a breastplate and a belt and a sword, shield and shoes and all that. You know, a kid can put on a toy suit of armor and you can see that, but look at yourself. Do you see this armor on you? Do you see a helmet? Do you see a breastplate or a belt or a shield or any of this? You can't see it. It's hidden from sight. It's invisible, effectively. And so Paul's words are really important because we're tempted, when we can't see something, to think that it's not real, right? I mean, how many people just disregard Satan, the devil, and the demons that serve at his command? How many people just think that's a bunch of nonsense, right? I mean, as Christians, we know that they're real, but when you can't see them with the naked eye, when they're not visible right in front of you, it is very easy to think that they are not there. And so Paul talks about this armor that manifests itself in things that can't be seen by the eye. The helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the shoes that are readiness given to the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit. You cannot see a single one of those things with your naked eye. They're not tangible things that you can hold or look at or touch. At least, we think they're not. So, we're faced with this temptation all the time to think that this battle isn't really taking place because we can't see it. And I want to ask you this morning to contemplate if you've ever really stopped to think about how Satan is trying to attack you. Because the battle is quiet doesn't mean it's not real. Because Satan is quite actually always attacking you. St. Peter says in his first letter, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And He tries to tempt you with the temptations to sin that already lie in your heart that Jesus spoke about this morning. Jesus says, from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. So how do you stand up to the devil? Well, the truth is, you can't. You can't stand up to the devil. You don't stand a chance against him. He's been doing this thing for thousands and thousands of years, and that is a battle you can't win. But, and he knew there had to be a but in this, Jesus stands up to the devil and defeats him on your behalf. Paul writes, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord because you're not strong enough yourself. Be strong in his might because you are weak. We wear this armor, our protection against the devil, by standing in Christ, the one who does stand against the devil. And every single piece of armor that Paul mentions is something that God has done for you in Jesus Christ. He mentions the belt of truth that goes around your waist. Now the belt, where do you wear a belt? Around the middle of your body, right? Unless you're getting older like me and your belly's getting bigger and your belt kind of sags, you have to pull it up all the time, but ideally your belt goes around the middle. And so in the very center of your being is the truth, like a belt. That truth that God has entered this world in the flesh of his Son, Jesus Christ, to be your Savior. Paul speaks of a breastplate of righteousness. What does a breastplate do? Of course, it covers your chest. It covers your heart. And your heart, from out of which come all the evil things Jesus mentioned, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, and so on, your heart is covered by the righteousness of Christ. For though you are sinful, in Christ you are holy and perfect and righteous. Paul talks about shoes of the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Shoes we wear on our feet as we go and live each day and encounter our neighbors in our vocations. And we do so with peace that the gospel gives us, knowing we have peace with God. And he invites others to have peace with him as well through the blood shed by Jesus Christ. The shield of faith. That trust that God puts in your heart that Jesus has done all for you. That you are saved by faith and faith alone. That no matter what attacks the devil throws at you, faith knocks them all down. And then a helmet of salvation to cover your mind as a helmet covers your head. To live with the knowledge that Satan can't tear you away from God, but that your salvation is secure. There's one other thing I haven't mentioned, and that's the last thing Paul mentions. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You will notice that of all these pieces of armor, they're pretty much all things you wear, things that cover you, belt and breastplate and helmet and shield. They are defensive pieces of armor. You have one weapon against the devil. One weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which Paul says is the Word of God. So that when Satan attacks you, when he tries to get you to believe that everything God has promised, oh, that's true of other people, it can't be true of you. Your sin's too great, or your shame is too great. Your guilt is too much for the love of God. You have the word that says Jesus Christ did die on the cross for your sins. You have the word that says Jesus Christ did promise you eternal life. You have the word that says you are holy and righteous and perfect because the blood of Jesus Christ covers all sins. Satan can do nothing against that word. Satan cannot undo what Jesus has already done. Satan cannot undo what Jesus has done for each and every one of you. You have the word. It is your weapon. In this battle against a raging devil who wants to steal your hope, who wants to plant doubt in your mind, and he continues that attack over and over and over and over. Something that we've talked about at length in our Bible studies, and so this is review for those who come to Bible study, is that how many of us think as Christians that our life as a Christian is an uphill climb, right? Some of you have heard me say this before. We think that, oh, we become a Christian, either we're born and baptized or we come to faith in Christ when we're younger, and then we're kind of trying to climb the hill. Throughout our lives, we're trying to get better, pray better, give better, tithe better, serve better, outreach done better, doing all these things better and better. And maybe throughout our lives, we'll get closer and closer and closer to the top. The problem is, sin always sends you tumbling back down to the bottom. Martin Luther was once asked how Christians should live their life. What does that life look like? And so Luther pointed to Psalm 119 and he described our life in three Latin words. Latin's fun. It makes us sound smart. So learn these Latin words. Oratio, meditatio, and tentatio. They mean prayer, meditation, and temptation. Luther said that our life as a Christian begins with prayer for the Holy Spirit. We receive faith in Jesus Christ. We are in Him. And now we pray that God would continue to give us His Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to keep us in the faith. Because that's the most important thing, right? That we are kept in the faith until the day we die. And that only happens by the Holy Spirit. And then we meditate upon the Word of God. And that's not just reading the scriptures, but hearing the gospel preached, eating the word joined to bread and wine in the Lord's Supper, receiving the forgiveness of sins. We meditate upon that word, that gospel that says Jesus Christ has died for your sins. And then the third part is temptation. Because you know what happens when people pray for God's Holy Spirit and when they live in His word, Satan attacks them. He throws everything he has at them, and the whole cycle starts again. Because it's not progress up a hill, but rather a cycle. Prayer, meditation on the word, and attack by Satan. Because here's the deal, I don't know if you figured this out, Satan attacks Christians harder than he attacks everyone else. Why wouldn't he? What need does he have to attack people without faith in Christ? He already has them. But your very presence here this morning to hear God's word and receive His gifts means Satan wants to attack you. He wants to throw everything he has at you. That old saying, I probably said it from this pulpit before, wherever God's people build a church, the devil builds a chapel next door. Wherever God's people are doing what God's people do, Satan tries to undermine it. And so, we need armor. We need the protection of the one who comes for us. And that's what Christ gives us. And so every one of us today are here in the midst of battle. A quiet battle that will never show up on Hollywood screens or in theaters. Might not be told for generations to come. But it is the most important battle of all time. The battle that Satan is waging against God for your hope. Dear friends in Christ, he can't win. Because you have a Savior who is your armor, is your defense, is your protection against Satan. No, you might not see it in big budget special effects on a 3D screen, but it's real. And the victory is the greatest story ever told. Jesus slays the dragon that is the devil. He stretches out his hands on the cross and says, "It is finished. Satan is finished. Sin is finished. These things can no longer overtake you." So stand in Christ. Stand in prayer and in his word. In Paul's words, put on the whole armor of God and live in the assurance, the hope, and the confidence that in Jesus Christ and only in Jesus Christ, the victory is won. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.